this is Troy Cash. Welcome to the September edition of Senior Connect, the monthly podcast of the Seniors Ministry at First Presbyterian Church of Columbia. I was so fortunate to have been joined recently by Mr. Bob Bailey, a long-standing member of our congregation. It was a joy to talk to Bob, to get to know him well, and I'm sure that you will be blessed by this conversation as well. But before we get into it, just a few announcements for the month of September. September 8th at 1 p.m. in the Lafitte Parlor, we will have the Encouragers Steering Committee meeting. Again, that's in the Lafitte Parlor, just off of Jackson Hall, at 1 p.m. on September 8th, the Encouragers Steering Committee meeting. The next Encouragers Breakfast will be on the 11th of September at 9 a.m. in Jackson Hall. That's the 11th of September at 9 a.m. in Jackson Hall for the next Encouragers Breakfast. Our monthly Barnabas Ministry Prayer and Note Writing meeting is at 1 p.m. on the 15th of this month in the Women of the Church Room, located in the Bridge, Room 201. So, again, that's the Barnabas Ministry Prayer and Note Writing meeting. It will be held on the 15th at 1 p.m. in the WOC Room of the Bridge on the second floor. There's a special outing being planned for this month on the 16th. It is the Encouragers Day Trip to the Mountains. The Encouragers group will be taking a trip, leaving the church at 9 a.m., planning to head up to Pearson's Falls in Tryon, North Carolina. This should be a fun time of fellowship to spend a day together enjoying God's creation. Of course, they're leaving up and going to Pearson's Falls in Tryon, North Carolina, leaving at 9 a.m. from the church, and this is for anyone involved with the Encouragers group. And lastly, on the 27th of September, there is planned the Couples in Action Steering Committee meeting. This steering committee will meet at 5:30 p.m. on the 27th via Zoom. This list of events, date, and times should be listed on our website at firstpres.columbia.org. Or if you have not signed up to receive a copy of our Seniors Ministry Messenger, please feel free to do so, as these are included there as well. And of course, as always, if there are any questions as far as registration or general questions regarding these events, contact Miss Janet Altman at jaltman@firstpres.columbia.org. That's all of the announcements for today. Let's get to the conversation with Mr. Bob Bailey. Well, Bob, thank you for joining me today. I am grateful to have you here. How are you?
Good, good. Good to be with you today, Troy.
Thank you so much for coming in. And I'm glad that we get to share some of your personal story with the church today. A little introduction before we get started. So Senior Connect, just as with some of our other media efforts, it actually began out of a reaction to the COVID-19 crisis, really as a way to keep members connected to the church and to keep them connected to one another. And we're extremely grateful for any success that the Lord has granted us to that end. But as such, this podcast itself is relatively young, and it's kind of morphed over its short lifespan, and it's morphed into what is now really a short conversation between one of our senior members and myself about their personal story. And so things like how they've come to faith and how they became members at First Pres. And a lot of times we share some things that they're currently involved with right now here at the church. And so really this podcast itself has turned into, rightfully so, what I believe is an effort to use this platform to encourage and build one another up, really in our testimonies of God's faithfulness in our lives. So, Bob, I know that it's a lot of information to share, and a lifetime cannot be shared in 15 minutes. But why don't we start wherever you wish as what might be an introduction to Bob Bailey.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you very much, then. It is good to be with you, and as a matter of fact, when you referenced the idea of these podcasts, As it turned out, I happened to listen to the one featuring, among others, Daniel Janosik.
Yes.
And I thought it went very well, and it was extremely instructive, and it was a very impressive piece of work. What I thought I might do, Troy, is give a little bit of a bio as to my early years and the association with what I would call, for right now, Presbyterianism.
Sure.
And it came to me personally at a very early age, ... as in birth. It was at a hospital in my hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina, and it was Presbyterian Hospital.
Wow.
So given that, it was pretty easy to stay within the faith in that that's where I took my first breath. And rather interesting, I look back at the age of five, again from my hometown of Charlotte, and that's where I began my formal education in kindergarten at the largest ARP church in Charlotte.
How about that?
That was the good news. The bad news was that I didn't like it, and I cried, and I became a dropout. I convinced my mother that I did not like kindergarten. It was not required at the time, so she allowed me to leave, and then things got a little bit better in the first grade. From a background standpoint, I was raised in a Christian family, and as a youth, attended St. Paul Presbyterian Church. It was a neighborhood church in my area. I think we didn't even bother driving. We walked about two blocks, and it was a wonderful experience. Rather sadly, I lost my father early on in life. He passed away when I was merely 10 years of age. Troy, I became something of a prodigal for 7 years of my life, and that started my freshman year when I was in college up to the final year in the military service, which was 3 years. So for about 7 years, I would attend occasionally, and I like to frame this in a recording device. You remember the old cassette recorders?
Where you had
the pause button?
Basically,
that's what I did for 7 years. I hit the pause button.
Sure.
I would attend off and on when I was in school, and the same thing when I was in the military service. And I guess since you work with a lot of people in a lot of different age groups, college kids especially, you hear the word freedom. See, I had the freedom. I didn't have parents to tell me where to go, who to associate with, what to wear, what to do. And I'm sure that anybody in the church dealing with young people, and I think more specifically of college freshmen, 18, 19-year-old young people, they talk about freedom.
Sure.
But I put quotation marks around, it's not freedom at all.
Right.
Which I'm sure that that you will understand.
Mm-hmm.
I married my wife, Billy. And as of September of last year, we celebrated our golden anniversary.
Well, congratulations, Bob.
50 years of a wonderful marriage. And again, Presbyterianism became very easy for me. I never considered another denomination. As it turned out, she was the daughter of a Presbyterian minister. And she spent her life in places like Virginia, West Virginia, Florida, Louisiana, North Carolina,
wow,
living in masses, you know, from one position to another.
Sure.
And I referenced earlier Presbyterian Hospital in Charlotte, and as it turned out, she is a graduate of the Presbyterian School of Nursing. She worked as an RN, as a registered nurse for her career, and we are now both retired and happily living in the very same house that we purchased 49 years ago.
Wow.
So there's your
there's your
timeline.
That's our overview, huh?
That is an overview.
Well, that is phenomenal. I've made a couple notes about things that I would love to ask you some questions about.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
First of all, isn't it wonderful when we see God's faithfulness even before our birth to places in places that he knows we will grow and thrive and hear his word?
Yes, as a matter of fact, even though I'm looking at a little bit of an outline here, I'll go ahead and jump right in.
Sure.
And you speak of God's providence, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but we talked before the recording that I had two careers, one of them in the insurance business mm-hmm. as a claims adjuster.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half, about 20 or so years, working, well, what we're doing right now in a broadcast
sure.
Situation. And the way that I got into this, I'm sure that you would like me to mention something of what I did for a living, was one Sunday in church, as I was looking at the bulletin just prior to the service getting underway, there were about three lines in the church bulletin, and it was a call for volunteers for radio reading service
wow.
at the South Carolina Educational Radio for the Blind. And I thought, this might be something that would be of interest to me. And a couple of people told me that I had a reasonably understandable voice. So lo and behold, I decided to look into it and did an audition tape, very much
wow.
similar to what we're doing now.
Sure.
And then for the last 20 years of my work career, I worked in this medium.
Wow. Well, that's a great place to start as a reasonably understandable voice, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I look at it as divine intervention.
It is.
Sitting in church in a pew, and right there in front of me was, you know, a brand new opening for a brand
sure.
new career, one which I enjoyed considerably.
An unlikely
Very unlikely.
Place to begin a career.
Absolutely.
And so was that, I noticed you said it was the state of South Carolina for the radio. So that was after you've moved from Charlotte, is that right?
Yes, yes. We moved here, Troy, about a year after our marriage. We came here in 1971, moved in July of 71. And in fact, we joined the church. My wife reminded me specifically on the 5th of December, 1971.
That's one of the many reasons God has blessed us with wives.
That's right. Absolutely. And I said, well, I'll tell him that it was 71. Said, no, you need to be very specific. It was the 5th of December.
The 5th of December.
Of 1971.
And I'm sure she'll never forget that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, another thing that I've made a note of was your time in the service. So first of all, thank you.
Mm-hmm,
for
sure.
Your time. What branch of service did you serve in?
Yeah, I was in the Army, and once people have served in the military, they never forget two or three items. One of them is your, they called it then the serial number. Now they use a Social Security number, and the other was the day they went into service and the day they got out.
Sure.
So after I finished my college education, I had something in front of me known as the draft board
mm-hmm.
or the selective service system.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before the days of an all-volunteer army. So it was September the 14th of 1964 that I went in as a private first class, earning a whopping salary of $78 a month. And that was before taxes. And then on the 13th of September of 1967, I received my honorable discharge and was stationed in South Korea
wow.
in the town of Busan. And then the last year and a half, I spent in Newark, New Jersey, and worked in a recruiting and induction center there.
Hmm.
So I was hardly a hero. It was people ask a lot of times, were you in the Vietnam War? And I very honestly tell them, I was on the same continent at the same time, but in a different country.
Mm.
And we would read the Stars and Stripes about what was going on in Vietnam. But
mm.
But I worked in an ocean terminal. Actually, I lived on a barge, which was tied up to the dock in the city of Busan. And it was a transportation outfit where
wow.
we had ships coming in and out. And we handled the cargo manifest and such as that then.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think you might have some overlap with my grandfather. Of course, I know many, many men were in the service at that time, but he was in the Naval Force around the same years in Korea.
Oh, really? Huh.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I don't have as much detail as you've provided me
uh-huh.
with,
uh-huh.
but he was, I think, 17 at the time,
mm-hmm.
so a young man when he went in. Served for a few years. So he was a cook mm-hmm. on a naval ship.
Yep.
So you may have some overlap. which is interesting.
You never know. You never know who you might run into.
Right.
Occasionally, we would come into a situation where we would meet people from other branches of the service. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time specifically, we had a submarine crew to come in, and they allowed us to go aboard their boat. And they made it abundantly clear it was not a ship, but a submarine is a boat. A
sure.
B-O-A-T.
Sure.
And for the life of me, I could not figure out how in the world that many men could stand to be in such a confined...
Even submerged underwater.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
And of course, our olfactory senses came into play, mm-hmm. and they couldn't bathe a whole lot. how in the world can you people stand each other and say, well, one guy smells as bad as the other, but you don't notice it
sure.
after a while.
Sure.
So what a lovely subject it is.
Well, to switch gears just a little bit from that, not that we couldn't talk about that for a while, but to your time here now at the church. So tell me a little bit about some things you're either involved in or just excited about to be part of with First Press.
Well, once we moved here, we started, there was no other possibility other than a Presbyterian church in Columbia. We visited about three or four, and interestingly enough, my little office was located in the very building we are located in now.
Wow.
Except we were on the second floor. I had a tiny little office. I was basically a resident claim adjuster. And so a lot of people don't even realize, but the original name of the building was the Methodist Building.
Wow.
And it housed all of the officials in the Methodist denomination.
Sure.
To include just down the hallway, I think it was called the Bishop. And as I would look across the street, I saw this huge salmon-colored sanctuary, and it was so imposing. I had been in a small church, and the same with my wife, Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, I don't know if we're quite ready for this, but we had a visitor too from one of our associate pastors, and he said, basically, you've got to make a decision, and I think now would be a good time. So we decided to go ahead and join again on the 5th of December of 1971. So we became immediately immersed in the work of the church,
mm-hmm.
and Billy was quick to jump in serving with the women of the church, and I had just been ordained as a deacon in Charlotte about 3 or 4 months before leaving.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So within 2 or 3 years, I was not ordained, but I was installed and served, I think, about 3, maybe 4 terms as a deacon.
Wow.
On the diaconate, and served as a Sunday school teacher for, I think, 3 different classes. Sometimes we taught together, and sometimes I taught with other men. I know my wife and I had the first graders one time, and then the fifth graders with another one of the gentlemen here, and it seems like we worked with the high school kids, and we got to know them. And I think one of the highlights, Troy, was in the mid-1990s,
mm-hmm.
just about every church at some point in time during the course of the year has a week when they emphasize missions.
Sure.
But missions at First Presbyterian Church has become really a mainstay,
sure.
of our, not only our denomination, but our church, since we are far and away the largest. And so I was approached about accompanying a handful of men to Mexico, to the town of Tampico,
yeah.
which is on the east coast. And the church there, the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church, had the land and had a small building, and we had to help refurbish it. So we went on a mission trip, I think in the mid-1990s. I went on, in fact, 4 of them, where we did manual type labor.
Yeah, sure.
And they had a tiny little seminary there. And that really changes the perspective. You can hear all the sermons you want,
mm-hmm.
And meet people who have been in the mission field. But
mm-hmm.
when you have been there and you lay brick and you lay block and you work with these people, It's a lot different.
I'm sure.
And when you it was a week's time. We stayed, and you eat together, sleep together,
mm-hmm.
like in a barracks-type situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really life-changing insofar as missions are concerned.
Absolutely.
These are real people bringing the good news to their countrymen in Mexico. That was a big deal for me.
Sure. I think it gives you a greater appreciation for the end product. You see all the work that has to go in to build that foundation,
not only physically,
but theologically, all the different aspects of building churches in different areas.
And in fact, I had a chance to meet some of the local folks as they paid visits to Colombia. And we even put them up for a night or two as they came to the Colombia area.
Sure. I'm sure that was...
It was very gratifying.
Yes.
Extremely so.
And making those lasting friendships, I'm sure.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Mm-hmm. That is correct. One other keynote situation is something that's very memorable to me. In the year of 2000, my wife and I ran into some health problems. It was during the summer. It was the month of July, and she had her routine mammograms, which virtually all women do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was discovered, sadly, that she had breast cancer. Mm. And about the same time, I started having chest pains.
Mm.
And when we would take a walk around the block, I could get about 100 yards and have to stop and put my hand on her shoulder and say, "Stop, I can't go any. Mm. I can go no farther." And then she laid the law down and said, you've got to go to your family doctor, check it out.
Yeah.
I did. I went. And he sent me immediately to a cardiologist. Mm. And I had to have a medical procedure. And so the interesting part of this was that we were both hospitalized at the same time.
Oh, goodness.
In different hospitals. You're somewhat familiar with the Columbia area now.
Mm-hmm.
She was at Baptist Hospital,
mm-hmm.
and Troy, I was at Providence,
mm-hmm.
and we underwent surgical procedures not only on the same day,
oh my goodness,
but the same hour.
Wow!
So at the time, one of our associate pastors, that was when the cell phone came into vogue,
sure.
He ran back and forth between the two hospitals and got us on the telephone with each other to have a prayer and to speak to each other and express our love.
Mm.
And of course, we came out well. But the point I would like to make is, and I have not mentioned this prior, we never had children, but we had a family, and we had a church family.
Mm-hmm.
And we were laid up for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't drive an automobile. We couldn't cook. We couldn't clean. We couldn't do just the routine things that you take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who came to the rescue? The church family.
Sure.
Meals, prayers, transportation,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. And, I mean, that meant everything in the world to us.
Absolutely.
Until we got squared away with our health.
What a sweet and meaningful time when it could have been, and certainly was, a difficult season, I'm sure.
It was, yes. Yes, it was, absolutely.
Mm.
I'm just thankful for our 50 years here at First Presbyterian.
Well, I am always thankful when I hear Dr. Thomas introduce new members to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he is always faithful to remind them of is that the church is constantly changing, and because it is being added to by the gifts of those
mm-hmm,
who
mm-hmm.
come in. And so not only has the church gifted you and Miss Billy over the time, but you have gifted the church with your gifts as well. And I'm so glad that God has chosen to use us imperfect people to be his body.
One of the activities that I am involved in, I'm not currently active on the session. I have been ordained, served one term
mm-hmm.
as an elder, but one of the duties that I have and I enjoy is the interview, the new member interview.
Yes.
You may be somewhat familiar
mm-hmm.
with that, but the new people that you referenced a few minutes ago coming into the church, we have a team, two of the elders, two members of the session.
Right.
Sit down with the individual, or many times a couple,
sure,
and have a conversation with them prior to prior to their joining. And what I try to get across to them is the fact that unlike somebody, say, in a law firm hoping to make partner, or say someone at the University of South Carolina hoping for tenure, we don't have that. We don't have that. You're just as much a member of this congregation. You're just as important as somebody who's been here for 50 or 60 years.
That's right. We are certainly among equals in one spirit.
Absolutely.
One hope and one call. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to know a little bit about Bob and, by extension, and covenant relationship, Miss Billy Bailey. Is there anything that you would like to add to the conversation about yourself, about the church, or even about the Lord's faithfulness?
Well, when I think about it, Troy, probably 100 yards from where we are sitting now, there are columbaria.
Okay.
They don't have our names on them yet, but they have already been secured and paid for. And that is where we will come to rest in on this side of glory.
Yeah, sure.
And one of my favorite passages in the Bible, in the New Testament, with Christ speaking to Thomas, is a very familiar passage. You could take this off by heart. Chapter number 14, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would not have told you, et cetera, et cetera. And I go to prepare a place for you. And that is a great balm for me and for the two of us as believers.
As it should be for all of us. Well, what a wonderful promise that we can hold on to from the one who fulfills all his promises. Bob, thank you so much for joining me today to have a conversation. I'm eager for folks to get to hear it.
Good to be with you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for joining in to listen to Senior Connect. If there are any needs you have or any issues with which we may be able to help, please call the Pastoral Care phone line at 803-513-7931. And as we conclude, just as Bob and I were speaking, hear this eternal truth of God's promise for his people in his word. It comes from John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.